And welcome back, another edition of the Let's Go Ricky Roll podcast, alongside Ricky Romero and Josh Tolley. I'm Bethel Duran. We missed you guys. We were gone for 2 weeks because I had to work one day. Then last week I had some tech issues. I think we need the internet in order to do a show. That kind of helps. And we kind of need a computer to do a show. And it helps. But we're back. Baseball season is underway. We are ready to go. Ricky's fired up. He's got his Fullerton gear on. How you doing, Rick?
I'm doing good, man. Good to be back. Good to see the boys. And had a great trip in Toronto. So looking forward to sharing everything with you guys.
Yeah, we'll talk about Ricky's trip in Toronto. Tolley, okay. There's usually Tolley Farm. There's Tolley Studio. Today is Tolley Little League. What is going on with you?
Yeah, Tolley at the Little League fields today. So I apologize for any background noise. But we got six boys down here playing baseball. We had a home run derby. We played knockout at shortstop. Boys are fired up. They're ready for some ice cream, but we're ready to do the show. Let's go.
Okay. So who's on spring break? Give us a breakdown. Who's on spring break right now?
Well, every kid in the entire community. Every school is on spring break.
So your boy, Camden, is that his name?
Yeah. Yeah, so Camden wanted some of his buddies that he plays with to come over. Well, then I just sent it out to a few of the guys, and all of a sudden I have six kids, and we're freaking having a blast. We only have one black eye so far. That's it. One black eye.
Only one. Okay. So the paramedics are there. Now, okay, this is beautiful. So during spring break, Ricky, you're about to learn this pretty soon. When spring break comes, it's a parent's nightmare because you're like, damn, I got it. Your schedule's ruined. My daughter's on spring break. Luckily,
I was just there last week. We had spring break last week. Wait. That's why we went to Toronto.
Oh, really? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Wait, Sebastian's that old? Okay, all right. But yeah. when they get older, they don't quite pay attention as much, right, Tolley? They kind of want to do their own thing?
Now you got to really entertain them. Like, listen, dude, they were so excited. They're like, we want to go on the podcast. And then they're like, oh, we want to go play on the swings now. So it's like, all right, whatever. They'll be back. They'll be back for everybody to say hi to them.
How old are they right now, Tolley, the one you got, the group?
10. I have 10. 9s, 10. And then I have my little Max with me, who's 7.
All right. And you know what the best part is, Rick? When you're the cool dad who can throw BP, it's like, oh, go there. Because now some of the parents that dropped off their kids with Coach Tolley, you know that some of them are playing golf. You know they're out there running around. They're doing something.
Hey, right, Josh, do most of the parents or do all the parents know that you played in big leagues?
Yeah, I think most of them do, if not all of them. Okay. Yeah, but it's nice because it, like, my friend group amongst these friends, like, they don't care. That's irrelevant. Now, there are people that do care, but this is a whole different ball of wax. Like, we're all so close. A lot of these kids are on our travel team, and it's just, we have an awesome parent group.
Oh, that's cool.
Plus we're ancient players now. Like, some of these kids were like, even when my camp, when we have our camp, like, some of these kids have no idea who I am. But you bring in like a J.P. Crawford, and everyone goes crazy over him, you know. And we're old.
No, it's different. The SNY network plays a lot of the Mets like games, and they play a lot of the Mets no hitters. So that's the only reason that I stay like a quarter prevalent around here.
And a Cy Young. Do they replay any R.A. Dickey starts?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they replay it. Yeah, they actually – you know what's really cool is they replayed an R.A. Dickey start the day after Camden was born. Oh, and, wow. It was awesome. So, actually, this happened this winter. They were replaying it. And I was like, oh, this is the day after Camden was born. Like, I was on no sleep. Like, it was crazy. So, I were watching it with Camden, and they flashed Camden's name on the Jumbotron. He thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
No way.
Now, you know, it's like it's cool, but he takes everything for granted.
Oh, that's
yeah,
cool.
No, that's awesome. Wait. I don't think they realize they don't realize how much stuff they get to do. That when you think about what we did when we were younger, like, you know, and this is my kid not knowing, like, going to a game and sitting in the stands is what it's all about. But the first thing Sebastian, and he's a little older, the first thing he does is like, hey, dude, we're going to go to Toronto. Do you want to go to a Blue Jay game? And he goes, yeah. Are we sitting in the suite?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, go ahead.
No. I say, like, you take for granted, right? You just, yeah. like, it's the same thing. Like, it's funny, guys that fly private with their kids, I'm like, God, your kids are never going to understand what it's like yeah. to walk through security. That's why I was always like, no, we go through security. You're going to grind it out with the rest of it.
Yeah but not every time. Yeah. You don't have yeah. to do it. You don't have to do it every time. I think we lost totally, but we'll come back to him.
Well, and I told him, I was like, next time we go, we're going to sit in the stands. And he goes, but why? I'm like, because one, I'm going to get you to sit longer and pay attention rather than eat popcorn, eat chips, eat a bunch of shit. You know, at least in the stands, you're kind of limited because you can't really move a lot. But no, it's cool, like, to see them experience that and how it lights up their faces just when they walk into a stadium and stuff yeah. like that. But yeah, our kids are definitely spoiled and they live a little different life than yeah. we did. I feel it's like
but that's part of the thing too. Like, and not like Ricky saying, "Oh, I only get the sweets." It's more of that's just what was offered, and that's where you're gonna go, and that's what's gonna happen. It's good.
That's right.
And it's But Ricky's also very quick to put his kid like, no, hey, we're going to the suite, but we're not going to eat everything in the suite. Right, Rick?
Yeah. No, most definitely. Yeah, I keep him in check. And I'm like, you guys don't make this place messy. Don't get it dirty, or, you know, just be polite, say thank you and stuff like that. Just little things. And, they do a good job. Like I said, they enjoy just even walking into the stadium and seeing just – you know, we were in Toronto this past week. I went to opening day on Friday night by myself, so that was cool. I thought I was going to leave in the fifth inning after that start that the Blue Jays had, down like 6 or 7 nothing. But what a comeback. The place was sold out for the first time in 2 years. And, you know, to hear 45, 50,000, you know what it's like, Josh, when that place is sold out. And to be down that big and make a comeback, that home run to Oscar hit to tie the game up, it's almost like it had a little bit of a feel, not to the to that extreme of Jose Bautista's, but it almost felt like the whole stadium was shaking when he hit that. And it was cool. And then on Saturday, I brought the whole family and we enjoyed six, seven innings at the ball game. And like I said, experiences like that, the Toronto Blue Jays always are very welcoming and taking care of me and my family, so that was cool.
Yeah, man, that's what it's all about.
That place was rocking too, huh?
Rocking, dude. You should see that scoreboard too. They got a new scoreboard, and it's humongous. Now they can shut the lights down too. They shut them off, and they shut them back, and they can turn them back on at whenever they want. And they have like a little like laser kind of show. When Romano walks in at the end, they like dim the lights, and he's just like running onto the field. All that little stuff, I feel like that gets the crowd into it, the closer into it. They've added some cool little features here and there. And I heard, I've been reading some stuff that they're going to continue to renovate that stadium. And everyone always talks about like, oh, they should build a new stadium somewhere else. But man, you know, it's better than anyone. That stadium sits in a perfect location. Like, it's right in the middle of downtown, all the bars, the restaurants. So you literally walk down 5 minutes and everything is there.
There's nothing better than the CN Tower being lit up in the summertime and the dome open. I'd like, that's like picture perfect. Other than like PNC Park with the lit up bridges in the back, that was like, okay, it gives me goosebumps. Like just looking up at it, it's nuts.
Yeah. And I know we've been bugging you, Beto, about coming up there.
I want to go.
Come up there.
I want to go.
You know, our boy Stocky is ready for you. He told me to tell you. He's like, get his ass up here, man. We'll show him a good time and show him some Canadian love. And Canadians know how to show love.
Yeah. So my boy, John Sanchez, he coaches basketball at Hamilton College, which is in upstate New York. And he brought that up to me. He's like, hey, we're not too far from Buffalo. We're not too far from Toronto. I'm like, because I got to take my son on college tours in a couple of weeks. We're going to go back east to look at schools in the Boston area and stuff like that. So I'm thinking, you know what, Mattel? Maybe we make a little trip to go north for a couple of days. You know,
I'll be there in July, the whole month of July. So
really,
take a drive. Yeah.
Oh man, really? The whole month of July, you're going to Toronto? Yeah. I mean, I'll just drive up, pick up Tolly. We'll take the tractor and we'll go, bro.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Then we're going to put you to work, Beto.
No, no, hey,
hey, hey. A lot of wood to be cut.
Come on up here. I am not manual labor. That is the last thing I am right there, bro.
I am not manual labor.
Right here, this guy, ELC, says the scoreboard is the biggest in baseball, and the reveal video was amazing. So the biggest.
Dude, it was sick.
Oh, nice.
Here, I'll show I'll show you. Let me see if I can pull up the video.
Yeah, go find that.
And then you guys, you can pop it open on here, Beto.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, just text it to me.
Yeah.
So, Tolly, what did you do for opening day? Do you, like, go around the farm and you have a bunch of stuff going on? Or do you even watch?
Yeah, I watch. I watch opening day. Dude, opening day is, like, one of my favorite times of the year. Freaking flyovers, big American flags on the field. It's, like, it's just, like, it's something I always think back to my opening days when I was with the Mets. And then one of my favorites was we were with the Blue Jays. We opened up with the Yankees. And that was like, it was a spectacle. And it was like, it was insane. That was funny of Garrett Cole getting mad the other day. Right? Opening day. He's like, let's go. We got to get going. I'm like, dude, I'm surprised like they didn't tell him. Like, if you think it's going to start at 1:23 in the afternoon, it's actually not going to start until 1:43. So work appropriately. That's Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. Dude, that's one of the things I did when I started opening day in Toronto. And I knew they told me, hey, it can start at this time, but be ready for it to be pushed back. Dude, I sat there. I went outside at the time that I usually go out at, and I just took it all in. And you honestly, on opening day, I feel like you only need like 5 warm-up pitches and 5 pitches off the mound, and you're ready because your adrenaline rush is so high. And yeah, that's one of the things I did for opening day. I just did all. I mean, it was the one and only start I had on opening day in Toronto, so I definitely enjoyed that one.
All right, here's the video that Ricky just sent me of Toronto, what it looks like.
Look at that, dude.
That's the way it's set up. I'm ready to go hit.
What? Go to the next one.
The next one too?
Or the last one. The last one. That's okay. When the last one is.
With the light on. Cool.
Yeah, but they shut back off.
Okay, let's see here.
And then Vladdy pops out.
Oh come on, Vladdy, you're terrible. All right, so this is what the lights. Right.
Wow.
Gee, that's the scoreboard.
Yeah.
Ooh-wee, man.
Yeah, dude,
that's cool. I mean, right there.
Hey, you gotta head up there, Josh. You gotta take the family up there.
Yeah, we're definitely planning on going. I'm trying to delay the passport so I can go up on a fishing trip first by myself.
Our friend Stocky said he's like, I wanna have Josh out here too, man. He's like, you three together would be freaking hilarious to go out and have dinner and some drinks.
All right.
Maybe we can do
it. We wouldn't have any fun. We would have no fun at all.
Yeah. Sometime in July. Hey, what's the drinking age in Canada? 18?
Yeah, 18.
All right, Mattel, 19. Let's go, Mattel.
19.
He's 17. He drank in Paris. He can drink in Toronto. He's good to go.
Oh.
All right. So baseball's here. It's back. It was pretty good. Ricky, you've been doing some TV for the Blue Jays TV. Totally.
I hear you're
all over the place doing radio stuff and doing hits. So you guys are busy media guys now. So it's fun. But it's the first week of baseball. And right away, it feels energetic. Totally, I'm going to start with you. Like when you go and you watch games, doesn't it feel like, okay, the lockout was so long ago that guys are actually into it right now? It feels fun.
Yeah, I think the fans are into it too. Yeah. I was actually surprised. I thought there was going to be some backlash from the fans, but the fans are incredibly excited. And they've been great ball games too.
Yeah.
As I always believe, the pitching is ahead of the hitting at this point. But, like, you go look at some of these box scores, dude, the guys are killing the baseball right now.
Yeah. It's definitely been pretty offensive. I know for the Blue Jays, watching them this weekend, their pitching staff was like the talk of the town, and it's definitely been their offense carried them through those first two games. So, yeah, it's always hitters like to complain, as they always do, about the cold weather, but they don't realize that the pitcher is cold too when he's out there.
Pitchers get cold, Tully. Pitchers get cold.
Hitters never. Hey, I don't say Ricky's wrong that often, but Ricky's wrong. The guy's out there for like 7 minutes at a time. Infielders, everybody's out there shivering, and then we got to go hit right away.
Oh, man. Hey, you remember, like, especially when you're in, like, in the Eastern League or in the International League, dude, in April? Oh, and you have those heaters, and everyone's like, huddled up around the heater, and you got to be careful because if you get too close, it'll burn your pants.
It burns your hands. Yeah. Hey, Ricky, great story. I don't know. It was a few years ago. One of our infielders got too close to it and burnt a hole in his pants. Funniest thing you've ever seen in your life. It starts smoking. Yeah. It starts smelling. Wait, what smells so funny? Guy goes, "Oh my God!" Burned a hole right through his leg.
These things are so powerful, Beto. They're like this. Most powerful heater you've ever seen. Right. Yeah. And man, you have one on each end of the dugout and everyone's literally huddled up. But if you get too close, your body heat goes up to like 115 degrees and you have to like get away and then you're cold again. And dude, it's just a shifting back and forth. And then you leave it up to the players that are playing. And then once they go on defense, you're sitting there huddled up again around it. Yeah, dude, it's those first few weeks. It's crazy.
The best success I've had at staying warm was to get ejected that time of year. See how, like, get ejected in, like, the third or fourth, go sit in the clubhouse. That was my goal.
Hey, you know what the craziest thing was, though? This is when you get to the big leagues, obviously, and now we're talking summer. The first time I went to Yankee Stadium, dude, and I sat in the bench, and you had air vents, I was like, oh, my God. This is just on another level. You're getting air conditioned inside the dugout, playing outdoors. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah, man.
Have you heard of that?
Best thing ever.
Yankees, I have too, right?
But other than Yankee Stadium, yeah.
Hey, the Yankees let you know they're big time, right?
Yeah, they are big time. They are big time. Yeah. They'll let you know. That's good.
Hey, Tully, do you tell people that you play for the Yankees?
No, but people, like, I always tell people I play for the Mets and the Blue Jays because everything after that really didn't matter.
The Yankees will let you know. The Yankees will let you know what they're all about with their pregame spreads too. Yeah. Josh knows all about those pregame spread or pre and post postgame spreads.
What do they got?
Best food, dude. You couldn't go to a restaurant to get this quality of food. I couldn't wait. Yankee Stadium is the best to go to as
for
a visiting
team,
hands down. Not even,
oh man,
oh, dude, it's unbelievable.
Really?
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
I thought teams just kind of like make a like peanut butter jelly and that's it for the visitors.
Nah, fuck that.
Yeah, but in like an A-ball they do.
But the Yankees take care of the visitors. No wonder all the agents want to go there. All right, that's good.
It's crazy. Like on getaway day, they usually have chefs come in and make any type of pasta you want. And not only that, they have Latino food. They have Asian food. They have Italian food. And it's everything. Yeah. And then – for pregame, they have a chef making Philly cheesesteaks and fries. And I don't know if they still do now because I know high performance is on another level, but who knows?
Oh, man.
It's the big leagues. The big leagues trump anything the high performance people say. Right?
I remember when they were trying to clean something up when we were there, they were trying to clean up some stuff of eating and Jose Molina walks in. With like a bag of cheeseburger and fries, and he's like, "Ain't nobody telling me what to fucking eat. I have like 12 years in the show."
Because high performance Jose Molina is gonna get there, right, baby? There you go. So there's a lot of cool storylines already in the first week of baseball. Dodgers have been on the road; we haven't seen them. Dodger fans are freaking out because Julio was terrible in one game. But there was a cool story yesterday. And Tully, I know you got to get going because the Little League home run derby is about to pop off again. I found some cool stories for this. So we'll bring them to you guys throughout the season. This happened yesterday. Did you watch the Padres and the Giants at all, Tully? Did you see what happened in the game?
Well, I don't know. I watched part of it. I watched the brothers. I used to work out with those guys.
Oh, perfect.
Awesome.
They're from Littleton, Colorado. So let me give you the story here about twins Tyler and Taylor Rogers. And here we go with this one. So, where is it at? Let me find here. Where is it at? Let me find the video for them. Oh, nope, that ain't it. See here. So the brothers were the first ones to play in the major leagues against each other at the same time. Tyler and Taylor Rogers pitching for the Padres and the Giants. They appeared, and the last time there was twins in the same game, 1990, when Ozzie and Jose Canseco played against each other. So that was a really cool moment. But you totally, you know them. They're from Littleton, Colorado.
Yeah.
You say you used to work out with those dudes, huh?
Yeah. You guys want me to work on, see if I can get them on the podcast?
Yeah. Okay. Here's the video of them exchanging the lineup here.
Tyler Rogers, he had this division all by himself. His brother was with Minnesota, and right before the season started, the Padres picked him up. And lo and behold, the first time they face each other, they're going to get out and exchange the lineup cards. And that's a great moment.
Yeah, that was really
And
cool
you,
to
my
see right
God,
there, man. Yeah, that was
that
cool.
was dope. I played with the Tyler Rogers in with the Giants. He was in the minor leagues when I was there.
Yeah, so
Yeah,
I can
stud.
only imagine. Like, one thing to see your friends, another thing to see your family, but then to play against your twin brother and both of them pitching. But yeah, totally. If you can get them, that'd be great to get one of them or two, whatever
Yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
Oh, what do we got? We got an appearance. We got a fan.
We
Oh,
got
who
the
we got?
crew. We got the
Oh,
crew.
look at
We got
that.
the
There
crew.
they are.
They're itching, dude.
Make sure you guys give him hell. Give Josh hell.
Okay, which one's Camden?
Camden.
All right, Camden. All right, so my name is Beto. How you doing? Your dad said on the podcast before you guys came back that everybody was going to get two ice creams today, one in the afternoon and one after dinner. Your dad's buying ice cream
He's
for
lying.
everybody.
He's lying. He's lying. Come on, man. I'm gonna send you the bill now.
No problem. See how much of a champ you are now? Where's Camden at?
Yeah.
Camden, get back here. Come on,
Yeah.
Cam.
Camden.
Damn, I remember Cam when he was like Soleil's age, when he was like a year old, dude.
Yeah.
He's so grown now.
All right. So that's
But look
Camden
at
right
him.
there?
Yeah.
All right, Camden, how you doing, man? My name is Beto. Do you know that your dad caught a no-hitter?
No, I didn't.
Come on.
Come on. Go play with your friends.
Love that kid.
Guys,
Heck
come on. You guys are tricky bad now.
Oh, man. He
Max,
straight showed you
my
up.
guy, Max. Hey, Max will have my back. My little Max. He's got my back.
Camden is awesome, man. I love that. Make sure you get him two ice creams there. Two ice creams. No, I did
They
not.
will.
I love that. I love that. Oh, man. Oh, so that was cool that the Roger brothers are able to have that moment right there.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what the parents are going through in a moment like that. Now, there was another one yesterday. Did you see what happened in Texas, Tolly, with Tyler Hearns? So
Yeah,
he's a
with the
pitcher
sister.
with the sister. We got the
Yeah.
video here. This was really cool. So get the setup. Hearns making his opening day or his starting debut for the Rangers. He was a reliever. He's a lefty, but he's from the Dallas area. And his sister is a young reporter in Wichita Falls, Texas. So she started off, it would be equivalent of being like an A-ball as a reporter. But she got to cover the game. And here's the video, the exchange after the game between the two.
You were able to bounce back pretty well through the second and the fourth. Was a mentality different? Was there somebody in the stands or in the press box that you were kind of itching to kind of do well for? Because, you know, their job is on the line, if depending on what you say today.
Is it?
It is.
Oh, okay. I guess just being a big brother, you try to set the best example for you, and try to basically do the best I can. I know I'm gonna fail. And more so just trying to, like I said, be the best example. And hopefully be able to let you know that no matter what you go through, that to not waver off your faith. And definitely don't doubt God for sure. For me to be able to sit here and tell you that I'm sitting here 3 years ago after 2019, I wouldn't even be able to believe you. But honestly, to have a very supportive sister like you is, means a lot. You know, you sacrifice a lot just for me to be in this aspect. And I honestly can't thank you enough. And so seriously though, like you, I know you went without a lot, gymnastics, all that type of stuff, cheerleading, just for me to get to the situation. And I don't think you really know, like despite, you know, the results, I didn't really care if I won the game or we lost or whatever. I was just more happy to see you, that you were here. So as a big brother, that means a lot to me.
Well, I'm happy you feel that way. Thanks for making me cry. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I'm proud of you.
Man, that right there, that guy.
That's freaking awesome, dude.
Dude, that, yeah. Hey, that's
pretty sweet, huh?
Yeah. So that was cool. So
yeah.
Hearn's story is that 2019, he got to the big leagues, but arm issues. And then COVID hit. He had a rehab. The minor league season was done. They've been telling him that he's a reliever. He's a reliever. And he kept telling, who's the man? Chris Woodward, like, hey, I'm a starter. I'm a starter. And they opened him up. They let him go. And he started yesterday for the Rangers. But when he was hurt, what he was doing is that he's from the Dallas area. So he would go, Rick, to different high schools and work out with them. So he had a rotation of seven different high schools where he'd go work out with one that day just to keep the kids motivated. And he said, as he's going through his ups and downs of trying to get back from injury, that the high school kids were motivating him because of their weight and their energy. They just keep on going. To see that moment that I saw with the sister, and it's like, oh my goodness, right there. Like, that gives you goosebumps right there.
No, and sometimes you have to be reminded, you know, of where your roots are and stuff like that. And that was cool, man. That's the beauty of sports sometimes. And to be able to share that with your sister, and what a moment. Again, injuries are always tough, but sometimes life needs to be put in perspective. And at the end of the day, us athletes, you know, are normal human beings too. And again, that was a cool moment.
Yeah, totally. That's one of those where it just tugs at the heartstrings, doesn't it?
Speechless. It does. It makes you speechless.
Yeah, that was where you're looking back and you're like, okay, at the end of the day, and this happened with our buddy Jesse Chavez, and somebody just DM'd him some terrible things about him giving up a couple runs the other day. And I'm like, you know, the athletes, you guys are getting paid a lot and you're performing, but nobody wants to suck on purpose. Like, you're there, and when you have those kind of moments that you're able to share it with your family or that moment for you, like just right now, like how your son totally saying, being a smart aleck with me about, like, no, I didn't know he caught a no-hitter. You know how much pride your kid has in his school to tell his dad, tell everybody, my dad played in the major leagues. I don't remember it, but he did right there, man. That's what it's all about.
And he knows. It is.
Yeah. It is cool.
This is what it's about, right? Like, I have six kids down at the Little League field. We're playing baseball. Like, that's what I love to do. That's what I can teach. That's what I know. And we have fun doing it. And that's what it's supposed to be. And it's like, when you do this, you just hope that, like, these kids will never forget these moments because it goes so fast.
Oh, it does indeed. It does indeed. Like, Ricky's over here, T-ball dad, and season's almost over, right, Rick?
Yeah, it's almost over, but it's like Josh said, these are the moments that you enjoy. And again, I never realized as a parent how much I would enjoy going to the field, like getting there and just even playing catch and all the pregame stuff, the postgame stuff, seeing the boys run around and tackle each other and play races around the bases, all that stuff. And it's little things like that. And when life gets put in perspective like that, it's the best. And again, like you said, Beto, as athletes, sometimes we make a lot of money, but it's money that's put in front of us by teams. And what are we supposed to say? No?
Take all of it.
You know, so you always want to perform to the best of your abilities, but sometimes stuff doesn't work out. And, you know, Jesse Chavez is a pro's pro, and he's a guy that, you know, can overcome anything. If you've heard his story, it's pretty amazing. So, right, he would probably be the first one to tell you now that he's playing with house money. You know, he's out there still grinding and doing his thing, and you tip your hat off to a guy like him.
There it is. Ultimate teammate too. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a teammate.
Ultimate teammate.
Yeah.
The
best.
They don't make him. He's right at the top of the list. Always in the talk. Yeah, heck yeah. Best, one of the best teammates ever, man.
If you guys want to, make sure you go back and look at and watch or review it. If you're new to the podcast, we've had some great guests over the year. Jesse Chavez, you mentioned it. Also, Jason Grilley's episode a couple weeks ago was a lot of fun. He's got the wine out there. So we'll go back and review, subscribe, all that good stuff to past episodes. We continue to roll. The podcast is going to be every Tuesday as long as my computer works. We'll be there for you. We're going to make a road trip to Toronto, it sounds like. We're going to be doing all kinds of different things. And, of course, there's a lot of different baseball podcasts out there. And on here, we don't break down the war or the BABIP or whatever stuff is going on with the stats. We just tell stories. That's pretty cool. And I love hearing the stories that we hear for you guys. And if you have your sticker that I sent out, Tony, did you get the stickers I sent you?
Yeah, buddy. All right, we got the stickers. I got to get you a photo of them. They're all over my house. You're the man.
All right. So we'll be getting some stuff, too. And if you have an ability to draw, we need to have a Tolly Time logo. People said a couple of them, but they had Tolly yelling. And one of them had you spitting fire. We don't quite need that. Tolly Time is more about stories, you know? It's about stories.
No, it's about spitting fire. I kind of like that.
Really?
Like a dragon.
It kind of had it.
Are we going to have Tolly Time today or not in front of the kids?
No. We can always have Tolly Time, because Tolly Time doesn't have to be spitting fire. It's just Tolly Time can be whatever he wants. It's a interesting one. All right, Tolly. Now, since this is the last one that I'm going to bring up, I have a lot of different content for you guys. Now, we know how we get going about how Little League and how travel ball and how everybody wants to be the best 8-year-old, right? And, you know, his kid's going to win a World Series ring at the age of 8. This is a tweet that I found yesterday that's very interesting. All right, let me see here. Darren Ruff, who plays for the Giants, this is a tweet that came from his buddy, Alex Hale, who tweets, "I play with Darren Ruff from 11 to 14U. We spent summer at the cages together, and I can tell you he was not the best 11, 12, 13, or 14U player on our team. Not even close. We had 3 draft picks from our 11U team, and of the 3 of us, he's the only one still playing. Run your race." That goes back to what we always talk about, like, just be a kid, don't get so locked in, and don't peak when you're 11 years old, right, Tolly?
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey, wait, where's your audio, Tolly? We don't hear you. Hello? We lost Tolly's audio. We'll get him to back. No audio from Tolly. We don't hear you. But you said you know Ruff, Ricky?
Well, I believe I played against him, but that's a cool tweet, man. And I like how he finishes that at the end, run your race. It really is your own race. You create your own path. And, you know, I don't give a shit what other coaches in Little League say about being the best. Got to be the best now and this and that. No, man, everyone's different. Everyone takes a different path. And I could be honest, I wasn't the best, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old, you know, at times. And you just peak at the right time. And when that peaking season comes, you don't miss and good things happen. And, we always talk about getting better get 1% better every day. And when you go out to the field, just learn something. And if you do that, you're going to be well off. The game of baseball will humble you quick. I don't care how good you are. And you talk to the best of the best in the big leagues, they'll say the exact same thing.
Totally.
Yeah. You're right. Sorry, I lost my audio there for a second. But it's the truth. That's what I preach. Like, who are we to evaluate what a 10-year-old kid is? Who are you as a parent to evaluate where your kid's going to go or what he's going to be when he gets older? Like, my boys are 2 different kind of boys. And then my girl in the middle, she's her own little entity. Every kid, they all come from the same place, but they all are different in their own way. And that's kind of my biggest, that's one of my biggest fears. I'll tell you this, I'm going to just do it right now. And I'm just going to take my rant, and this will be my rant for today.
Yeah, go for it.
Because at the end of the day, at the end of the day, when parents and coaches can realize that it's not about them anymore, it's about the kids, you have to support these, especially in baseball in particular, because it's such a failing sport, and you're going to struggle and you're going to lose. But what I see now is like high school coaches not supporting their players. They always make it about themselves. And, well, yeah, what have you done for me lately? Well, let me tell you something. It's not about you. It's about the player. It's about the guy in the batter's box. It's about that group, that team. So remove yourself from it, high school coaches. I'm sure they know who they are. And, like, make it about the kids. Like, I get that all the time of, like, kids are like, well, you know, they want me to do this and that. And, like, there's no conversation. It's just black and white. And I'm like, that it kills me. And that's the start. It starts when they're freaking 10 and 11.
Yeah. And it's true what he's saying too. I feel like sometimes high school coaches, and we both know, or the three of us know this, that sometimes they get caught up in their own records and the win, all the wins they've had and this and that. Well, shit, show me who you're getting to college. Show me that you're producing kids going to the next level. And that should be the measuring stick of who you are as a coach. But if you're more worried about, I'm getting my 1,000 win this season and this and that, I don't care. You know, show me these kids are becoming better men, and you're preparing for the next level, not just in baseball, but in life, you know? And I think that goes a long way. Beto, I told you before, off camera, for the perfect example, Sebastian, that night I told you guys he hit two home runs in a little league game, and they called him up to the next level, and he struggled, man. He struggled, and they have their first game back from spring break today, and he came up to me and he's like, "Daddy," and I felt bad. It almost breaks my heart because he was like, "Don't be mad, but I don't want to go to that. I don't want to go to single A anymore because I can't hit off the machine and I'm a little scared and nervous." And I was like, holy shit, like dude, the last thing I want is for him to lose interest in baseball and not like it anymore. And he's 6 years old, man. Like, so I was like, you know what, all right, cool, we'll just stay with the team you started with and finish off with that team. And you know, and I feel like that's kind of how it starts when you start putting pressure on these kids, like, no, you gotta go. I texted the coach right away and I said, listen, this is what's going on, and I'm just going to hold them back from now. And when I told him, Sebastian, but next year we're going to move up to that level and you're going to see that machine again, he's like, I'll be ready next year. And I'm like, perfect.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I need to hear.
And that's what it's about. And the coach should have been like, that's freaking awesome. Thanks, Rick. Yeah, appreciate it. He did. And yeah, that's what it's about for these kids, man. Because you're right. You lose interest. These kids will lose interest quickly.
Yeah. And again, he's in another level where he's watching 7- and 8-year-olds hit off this machine, and they're pretty good at it. And he's like, he just can't time it yet. And I'm like, maybe he's just not there yet, which is totally fine. You know, it's cool. And it doesn't make him soft. It doesn't make me soft. It doesn't make me, you know, how people like to say, you know, like, he's got to stick to it. No, it's okay. Like, he's 6 years old. What is he going to do? Sign a contract next year? Hell no. You know, it's like, he's got time to develop. So I was actually pretty proud that he came up to me and told me that. He was a little shy at first, and he like looked at me. He's like, "Are you gonna be mad at me?" And I was like, "No, dude. Like, that's totally fine. Like, it's cool. We're all good."
Yeah, man.
They'll always feel like they're letting you down, but that's what it is, and it's like support, right?
Yeah. Like, I was telling Ricky,
You're right. You see that face? You saw his face, and it felt like he was letting me down. Like, and I was like, "You're not letting anybody down, dude. I still enjoy. Let's go on that rookie team and just continue to tear shit up."
Like I was telling Ricky, the last thing you want to do is have the kid say, "I don't want to go," for the rest of his life. I don't want to get burned out. Like when my son made the decision to choose basketball over baseball, I'm like, "Damn it, kid! You're a lefty. You're gonna be 6'1", 6'2". You get whipped a little bit." And he's like, "I'd rather play basketball." I'm like, "All right, go for it." Like, and he still likes baseball. Go after it. It's you just gotta let the kid make their own decision. Like, now we're gonna go back on the soapbox about all that other stuff, and that's not what the whole point was. It was just more go back to that tweet. By Darren Ruff's buddy, who is Ruff wasn't the best one as a kid, and it's okay. Let the kids just play and go after it. Like, what would happen if Ruff's dad would have been grinding him and pushing him even harder and harder and harder, and the kid just gets burned out and doesn't want to play, and life altered, you know? And also, too, if you're the best 12-year-old, you might want to work a little harder because you might peak at 12, right? It's just dumb.
I've seen it a handful of times already. Kid's the greatest little leaguer ever until he gets to high school, and oh shit, now everybody's caught him.
Yeah.
Man, it happens all the yeah. time. All right, Tolly, what's going on with the rest of the plan? I know you got to get going.
I got to go get ice cream, boys. My kids are out in the yard. They're in the freaking concrete. They're playing in the parking lot right now. They're itching.
Get out of here, Tolly. We'll see you next week.
All right, boys.
Good Tolly time. He's the best, man. He's the I only yeah, met him really, once, but man, he's so cool.
Yeah, he really is the best. He's high energy, good energy, great vibes, and yeah, man, that's how he was as a teammate too.
Yeah,
that's how he was as a teammate. Never in a bad mood, always upbeat, and you know, guys like that. There's a reason why they're great clubhouse guys, and to have that kind of energy and. You see how other guests have rode him and how they talk to him and stuff like that. It's funny, man, and he takes it very well, but he dishes it out too. So yeah it goes both ways. He's a good dude.
He's awesome about that stuff. And our boy Alomar De La Torre, who's always watching the show after he gets out of eighth grade, Tolly's his guy. Even though Alomar's the second baseman, he's like, I love Tolly time. And I'm like, all right, Alomar. And his dad's a coach, all that good stuff. So what's up, Alomar? Appreciate you checking in all the time with us. All right, so a little housekeeping here. As always, Blue Wire brings us the podcast, the Blue Wire Network. Make sure you guys rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. The Instagram is Let's Go Ricky Rowe. Now that baseball season is here, I'm going to start posting on there more, doing more things, interacting with you guys more. And if you're wondering if Ricky's running the account, no, it's me. So stop sending Ricky messages because the messages are for me. But I do forward it to Ricky, so we'll set. Oh, damn it. You know what? I forgot to show this to Tolly. Damn it, I messed up. Where's it at? Oh, man. Let's see here. Our good friend, Jess Ray, had a picture of Tolly in this baseball card. And Jesse, I forgot to send that to him. Oh, man. So.
Hey, but you gotta say what it said, what the caption said. They do exist. Hey, Jesse, tell him to find something. He'll find it. That's cool, though.
Yeah, Jesse's a good friend of ours who works at a card shop, and he finds all the good stuff. And he found this one of Josh Tolly, a Bowman card. I just realized I didn't show it to him. But we'll talk about it next week for that. All right, so what do you got coming up, Rick?
Nothing right now. It's just watch games. And just
that's it.
Hang out, play golf. Thursdays, I'm doing a podcast too on Thursdays. Through the Blue Jays, so that or through talking about Blue Jays. So yeah, man, I'm trying to stay busy, and whenever Sportsnet asked me to do some hits, I've been doing those too. I did one last night. That was fun, talking about Alek Manoah. And grinding like you. I'm starting to learn the business side of media, man. It's crazy. And I tell Cara all the time, I'm like, man, everything Beto says is true. Like, or it comes in, like you start learning that business side of it. And it's cool. And learning the, like I said, it's a different type of business now. And it's you know, just continuing to learn on this platform.
The media side, it's fun, but then it's like you like doing it, but you also don't want to have a full-time job because you got the little kids and you got t-ball to worry about, you got soccer coming up, all that good stuff, man. You're a busy dude. So I Mark Gubisa, I talked to him the other day, Angels broadcaster, 1985 World Series champ. He wants to come on in a couple weeks, so we're gonna figure out.
Oh yeah,
because Gooby's like, he listens, so he's like, I like what you guys do. You talk. We've had him on before. He'll come on. He said if we get a whole.
Yeah, we still got to get a few guys. I know. I talked to Christian Arroyo from the Boston Red Sox. He told me he wanted to come on. I want to have potentially like guys that we've had in the past, like Sergio Romo. I want to. You know, he's a guy, another guy that's been grinding and was in Mexico, and he texted me. He's like, yeah, I got to see if I can land a job. I'm going to go to Mexico for now and maybe play here. And then, boom, Seattle signs him, pitches last night. Kevin Pillar, like a guy that's been in the big leagues, and now he's grinding in AAA for the AAA Dodgers farm team. And just stuff like that, I think that people should know. You know, these guys – Pilar, for example, for me, he's been in the big leagues and has been on big league charter flights the past few years, and all of a sudden now he's riding buses and what's motivating him, you know, and all that stuff. And I think it's important for people to hear that and just, you know, again, it's the stories that this makes this podcast, and that's what's special about it.
Yeah, so we'll be moving forward. Now that everybody has a normal schedule during spring training, we can't because guys are there. But now that they can get going, we'll have some guests. We'll try to get a guest for you every week. If not, it's just more totally time, which we have a lot of fun. Broadcasters, you know, executives, everybody else, members of the media. So we'll be having guests coming for you throughout the regular season. We'll be interacting with you. Ricky, can we get your cider in Canada, 101 Cider?
Shoot, I think you can. Yeah, there's some places I think that has them. I'm not sure which ones, but yeah, I believe there is places that have them.
Yeah. Well, the Instagram is 101 Cider for more information. Mm-hmm. All that. Also, the Let's Go Ricky Rowe Foundation Instagram. Make sure you guys follow that one. Good stuff for kids here in Southern California. All right, so a lot of things going on, people. Baseball season is here. T-ball season is wrapping up. I work a lot of boxing, so boxing's picking up. So we'll be doing a bunch of good stuff. We'll be hitting the road
soon. Yeah, man. It honestly feels good. It feels good, right, to kind of, you know, it was a tough 2 years for a lot of people, and to kind of have some stuff go back to normal. And, you know, for example, the Jays having a sellout crowd for the first time in 2 years, dude, because they hadn't even been home because they were either in Florida or Buffalo because they couldn't come across Canada. To see that place be packed and be loud, it was awesome. You know, you guys working boxing and all that stuff and just seeing, you know, those arenas packed too, it's cool, man. I'm glad we're all this is coming back to normal, and we get to see baseball now every day. And dude, it's cool. It's you know, it's back to our normal lives, I feel like.
Yeah, we're getting there. All right, so we'll see you guys next Tuesday. As always, rate, review, subscribe, let us know how it's going on, and do me a favor, share the podcast, let people know, like, you know what, this is fun. Montoya FX, he keeps inviting me to play Sunday leagues. Bro, I am available. I will come out and throw Salt Lake Park in Huntington Park. I'm ready to throw, bro. I got me a tall can ready to go. All right, so
I get it all the time from senior.
From your dad?
Oh, come on. Go prepare. Start running and start throwing and come out and play, throw some inning. No.
Come on. No desire to play Sunday leagues?
If I did, I would have done it already, dude. What do I have to gain from that? I tell him, I'm like, what do I have to gain from that? Like, if I go and get shelled, people are going to talk shit. So,
what about playing in the over 40 and over league in a couple years? You know, there's
the number one thing is the last thing I would want, and my wife would kill me, is if I went and fucking tore something, you know? And it requires surgery and I'm out of commission, you know, like, nah, man, like I want to be, I'll save my bullets to when Sebastian and Diego are older and they want to play long catch. Now I want to be that dad throwing, you know, 100, 150 feet, 200 feet with them. So I got to stay ready for that.
All right. Shout out to the officially unofficial podcast in Toronto. Also Blue Jay Fans UK, Blue Jay Fans, the letter U, the letter K. He does a real good podcast in London. They've had a few guests. They had your boy Shai Davidi. Just wanted to give them a shout out. Blue Jay Fans UK. They're in London watching the Blue Jays. It's a good podcast. They really love their Jays, and they actually want to have you on as a guest pretty soon. So we'll figure something out. And they do really cool graphics. They go top notch. So just want to give them a shout out, Blue Jay Fans.
Cool.
UK. Yeah. So, which is weird. Like, oh, here it is. For opening day, he was watching the Blue Jays game at 12:30 a.m. So that's how dedicated he is. To make sure.
Yeah.
There it is.
And that was kind of a long game. So I'm sure he had to stay up pretty late, man.
Have a couple pints. There you go. All right, Rick, get going. We will talk to you soon. Another edition of the Let's Go Ricky Rowe podcast. Thank you.
All right. Peace.